us overcautious. You know, we don't do things that are outside our comfort zone. We can be afraid for our loved ones, which tends to make us overprotective. We can be afraid of deeper things like loneliness, being unloved, being uncared for, being rejected. We can be afraid of things like losing control, being out of our depth, out of our comfort zone. And then there's the fear of failure. Failing ourselves, letting other people down, letting God down. Paul Tillich, who's a philosopher and theologian, argued that we all suffer from three main fears in our life. It's all right, I don't mind being heckled. It's fine. It happens all the time. Three main fears in our lives. There's the fear of guilt, which means we're scared our past is going to catch up on us. There's the fear of meaninglessness, which means we're scared that our life has no purpose, that it's all for nothing. And there's the fear of death, which comes to us all. And so a good question to have in the back of all of our minds this morning are, and I'm going to come back to these questions, what are the things we are most afraid of, and how much do we let them affect our lives? What are the things we're most afraid of, and what impact do they have on our lives? When you think about today's reading, there are actually two very different kinds of fear in today's reading. The disciples start off feeling afraid of the wind and the waves and the thought of drowning, but they end up feeling afraid of Jesus. And those are two very different kinds of fear. If you read earlier on in Mark's gospel, you'll see that just before all this happened, they'd all been having a very busy time of it, because they'd been with Jesus, and Jesus had been doing miraculous things and healing people and doing all sorts of wonderful things, and they'd been there to see it. And then he'd been preaching, and he'd been telling people how much God loves them, and he was saying things that people don't normally hear religious teachers say about God, and everybody loved this, and they're flocking to hear him. So they'd been having a really busy time of it. And at the end of it all, it's getting near evening, and Jesus says, let's go over to the other side. And you get the feeling he sort of... He leaves the sailing bit to the disciples. You know, they can get on with organizing the boat thing. I'll just get in the back, and I'm exhausted, and I'll just have a sleep. And that's exactly what happens. And the journey starts out quite well. Quite a few of the disciples, they're fishermen. They know about boats. This is something they're good at, something they can do. And despite, you know, it's not just them. There's other disciples and other boats round about them. They're all sailing off to the other side of the lake. So things start out okay. But then, suddenly things get out of control. One of these storms suddenly whips up the waves and whips up the wind. And despite all their knowledge and despite all their experience of sailing and despite the presence of the other boats around them, they realize there's a real danger they could all drown. And so, where's Jesus? Oh, he's asleep. Wake him up. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Max Lucado has written this book called Fearless, which I thoroughly recommend. A few years back, we worked our way through it chapter by chapter at evening worship. Basically, what he does in the book is he takes all the common things that we're afraid of, and he looks at them in the light of faith. So it's sort of, how do we cope with these things in the light of faith? But in his introduction, he talks about the impact that fear can have on our lives. For example, one thing fear can do is it can turn us into control freaks. We feel out of control, so we become over-controlling of the things we still have control of. If you're still with me. And we see that here. The disciples, they've done all the things they could do, but there's still the wind and the waves. Oh, there's Jesus. Let's wake him up. At least we can do that. Then at least he'll be awake when we all drown. It's sort of, you know. Another thing fear can do is it undermines our faith. We begin to doubt that God cares. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Something bad happens, something out of our control, we begin to doubt that God cares about us. And this leads us to the third thing that fear can do. It can deaden our capacity to remember. I mean, that very day, the disciples had been witnessing. They'd been seeing with their eyes Jesus do amazing things, things that they wouldn't have dreamt were possible. And they'd heard with their ears Jesus talking about how much God cares about them and how much he loves them. But in their fear and in their panic, they'd forgotten everything he'd taught them and everything he'd done. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And fear does that to us. The storm comes, and suddenly all that we know about God and all the wonderful answers to prayer that we've experienced all through our lives, we've just forgotten them. They've gone. That's what fear does. And just imagine what happens. There's Jesus asleep on a cushion in the back of the boat in the middle of this storm. The disciples shake him awake. Don't you care if we drown? He looks up, takes in what's happening, gets up, rebukes the wind, orders the waves to be quiet and to be still, and dramatically, because it must have been dramatic, because we know this because of the reaction, dramatically, it all stops. But now the disciples have got a different kind of fear to deal with. Look at what they say at the very end. They were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey them." They weren't just afraid. They were terrified. So far, we've been sort of looking at fear as a bad thing. But fear can also be a good thing. It's good to be afraid of fire, for example. Especially on bonfire night. It's good to be afraid of fire. Because that means you respect fire. It's good to be afraid of the power that surges through electricity sockets, because that means that you tell your little ones not to stick their fingers in them. You respect it. And the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. The beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The second kind of fear that the disciples experienced that day was the fear of the Lord. Because they suddenly realized who it was that was in the boat with them. They suddenly realized who it was that was in the boat with them. In his book, Max Lucado suggests that we tend to like keeping Jesus compartmentalized. You know, we tend to like just putting him in our own little box that we've designed. And we bring him out every now and then, and we listen to what he says, and we look at him, and we think, "Oh, Jesus, such a great teacher. He said such profound things, well worth listening to. Fantastic." Or we say, "Oh, what a nice man he was. Such a gentle man, such kindness, such grace, such mercy. Wouldn't it be great to be like him?" So we do these things. But Jesus is not someone who can be kept in a box. Jesus is the Lord of sea and sky. Jesus is the creator of heaven and earth. Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. Jesus is the giver of life to us all. Jesus is the one who holds everything in place by his power. He's not just a nice man to have as a friend. Jesus is God. And he is in our boat with us. There's a lot of fear around these days. I know a lot of people who are scared of lots of things. Fearful. Fearful of health, or fearful for their loved ones, or fearful for the future. There's a lot of fear around these days. And it does affect your lives. So here's a question. How can we help someone we know who is feeling fearful just now? And I'm sure we all know someone who's feeling fearful just now. Someone who's feeling that things are out of their control, or feeling that maybe God doesn't care for them anymore, or who's forgotten all the good things God has done for them because of their fear. How can we help them? I think the simplest way is not to try and pretend there's nothing to be afraid of, because there are lots of things to be afraid of. That's the reality. So the simplest way is not to pretend that the world is a safe place. Rather, the simplest way is just to let them know that you are there and that you care and that you're praying for them. That, if you like, you're in the boat with them. Because that's what being part of Christ's body on earth means. It's because in so doing, we become Christ's presence until the storm has passed. Or we become a reminder of Christ's presence until the storm has passed. As that wee girl said last Wednesday, the world is a dangerous place. But whatever we face in life, Christ's presence can make all the difference. All the difference between being scared of the least of things and being able to deal with the worst of things. All the difference between pulling up the drawbridge and trying to stay safe, or going out and living life to the full. And isn't that something worth thinking about? Isn't that something we want young Struan to come up to, grow up to learn? Isn't that something we want all our children to know as they face the future, and their children as they face the future? Whatever we face in life, we have got Jesus in the boat with us. And the Jesus who is in the boat with us is God. And so we come back to that question I asked you to think about in your minds at the beginning. Questions that I would encourage you now to reflect upon. I'm not sure if we're going to have absolute silence for the next few minutes, but we'll have an approximation. So in that approximation of silence, why don't you reflect on these questions? What are the things you're afraid of in life? What are the things you're afraid of in life? How much do they affect you? How much do they affect your faith? And what are you going to do about it? Loving Father, we thank you that Jesus is in the boat with us. We thank you that this means that there's nothing in life that we will have to face on our own. And we thank you for the promises that you have given us that are there in Scripture. Promises like, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Loving God, our prayer is that as we leave here today, we would know that Jesus is in the boat with us. And our prayer is that you would use us in the days to come to make his presence known to others, that they too may begin to experience that peace which is beyond all understanding, that there is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.